I'm here to present on associations.
Take this up.
Oh, between depression and obesity, using data from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey from 2005 to 2006. And I have nothing to disclose. Okay, just a little bit of a brief background here. There has been research on the association between depression and obesity in past studies, but the results have been very mixed. Therefore, the jury is still out on this. It's relevant to study because although we're well aware of associations between obesity and poor physical health, we know relatively little about obesity and psychiatric comorbidities. Also, if we can go ahead and just look at this diagram here, we know that obesity is strongly associated with type 2 diabetes, also associated with cardiovascular disease. It's a risk factor for both. And evidence is emerging that depression also is a risk factor for type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. So it stands to reason that depression may come into the mixture here earlier on if it is actually associated with obesity as well. I had four objectives in conducting this study. The first was to investigate the association between body mass index and depression in a diverse national sample of American adults. The second was to investigate the roles of gender and severity of obesity in this association between depression and BMI. The third objective was to examine waist circumference. In other words, is it obesity per se, or is it the distribution of fat that is a factor in the association with depression? And my fourth aim was to look at the possibility that there may be health behaviors and or poor physical health that is mediating this association. I used, as mentioned previously, the continuous NHANES. Now, NHANES began to collect data in a continuous fashion starting in 1999. Now they collect data every year. But it wasn't until 2005 that they began to, that they included a scale for depression. And the 2005-2006 NHANES oversampled African Americans, Mexican Americans, people with low income, and people age 60 plus. This slide basically shows how I arrived at my final analysis sample. I'm not going to go through every detail. I can always return to it. But basically, I ended up with 3,599 not pregnant adults over the age of 20 who had complete data on all of the variables that I examined. Depression was my dependent variable. It was measured by NHANES using the Patient Health Questionnaire, or PHQ-9. This is a scale that is based on the 9 signs and symptoms described by DSM-4 for depression. There's a question for each one of the signs and symptoms, and the questions are on a 4-point Likert scale. This measures point prevalence of depression. In other words, depression within the past 2 weeks. The scores for each item, which can range from 0 to 3, are then summed for a total score of 0 to 27 on all 9 questions. There is also a 10th question on the extent to which these signs and symptoms interfere with a person's daily life. And in order to be depressed in this study, a person had to score at least had to have a PHQ-9 score of 10, which indicates at least a moderate level of depressive symptoms. The person also had to answer positively one or both of the following two items: that they had little interest or pleasure in doing things over the past 2 weeks, and or that they have been feeling down, depressed, or hopeless over the past 2 weeks. And they had to indicate some level of impairment in work or social roles due to these symptoms. So it's a pretty strict definition of depression. I operationalized obesity in two ways. The first way was by using body mass index, and I used the traditional cut points recommended by National Institutes of Health. My reference group consisted of those of normal BMI between 18.5 and 24.9. I compared all other groups to them. I did, you will notice when I get to the results that you won't see anything for the underweight group. There were too few of them to include. I also examined the role of waist circumference. And I again used the NIH cut points, the point at which people are considered to be high risk for cardiovascular disease. So for men, that's greater than 102 centimeters around the waist, or about 40 inches. For women, it's greater than 88 centimeters, or about 35 inches. And I controlled for a number of covariates. I actually ran logistic regression models, first an unadjusted model, and then two adjusted models. In the first adjusted model, I controlled for all of the demographic variables and the three health behavior variables: smoking, alcohol consumption, and physical activity. And in the third model, I controlled for, again, for all the demographic variables and the two indicators of physical health that I had: self-rated health status and number of chronic conditions. So this basically outlines what I just said. I ran these logistic regression models separately for men and women and for the whole sample together. And here are the results for women. Okay, we can see, first of all, waist circumference does make a difference. Those women with a high waist circumference had more than double the odds of being depressed compared to women with a low waist circumference. And this association pretty much held when I controlled for demographic and behavioral variables. The demographic and behavioral variables didn't seem to make a big impact. However, in the last model, when I controlled for demographic and physical health variables, the association basically disappeared, right? Became non-significant and approached one. Then, looking at BMI, there was a threshold effect for very high BMI. There was basically no association until we got to the extreme of BMI of 40 or greater, and then it just jumped up to nearly 5. So women with a BMI of 40 or greater had nearly 5 times the odds of being depressed compared to women with a normal BMI. When I controlled for demographic and behavioral variables, this odds ratio was reduced somewhat, but not a lot, to 4.2. But then when I entered in those physical health variables, the odds ratio came down dramatically to 2.18 and was non-significant. These are the results for men. No association whatsoever between either BMI or waist circumference and depression. Now, these are some of my results looking at the sample as a whole and focusing on waist circumference. The results that you see for large waist circumference in the total sample is, of course, driven by the association among women. But also of interest, you see, I tried to stratify on a level of BMI as well. And for those who are only overweight, who have a BMI between 25 and 29.9, Waist circumference is significant here. Overweight people, this is both men and women together, because I didn't have the statistical power to stratify further on gender. Overweight people had more than double the odds of depression compared, if their waist circumference was large, compared to those with a small waist circumference. This odds ratio was reduced when I controlled for the covariates and greatly reduced when I controlled once again for physical health and became non-significant. Now this is a cross-sectional study. That's one of the limitations of the study. So I cannot really talk about causality in this study. It can't be established. However, one can think about it. And thinking theoretically, what might be the mechanism whereby obesity is associated with depression and the association is mediated by poor physical health? I personally favor the top one, but one cannot say from these data. According to the top hypothesis, obesity may, of course we know, it greatly increases the risk of chronic conditions, which if they're poorly controlled can lead to poor physical health, and it's widely known that poor physical health is associated with depression. All right. The bottom one I have a little more trouble with, but it could be that depression leads to poor health behaviors. In other words, a person smokes more, is not physically active, that sort of thing, is not compliant taking medications, that sort of thing. And that this worsens a person's physical health. But how this leads to obesity, I don't know. Perhaps they're just sitting around and not doing much and overeating, and so they become obese after they realize their health is poor. Okay, so I've already mentioned one of the limitations of this study, that it's cross-sectional, right? Another possible limitation is selection bias, because 21% of the eligible sample did not get into the analysis because they had missing data. And this group did tend to be a little bit different than the group that got into the analysis. They tended to be less educated, more likely to be racial ethnic minorities, older, physically inactive, have lower income, and say their health was poor or fair. But there are a number of strengths in this study as well. First of all the variables were well measured, particularly the ones on obesity. They did not rely on self-report. Of course, the indicator for depression had to rely on self-report, but it's the sensitivity and specificity of the PHQ-9 for detecting clinical depression are both very high, 88%. I controlled for a number of possible confounders and mediators here, indicated in the literature, possible mediators. This sample was ethnically varied, a national sample, and had a wide age range. Some previous studies of this question focused only on a much narrower age range. I had adults from 20 to 80 plus. And I examined both BMI and waist circumference, which not all studies of this question have done. So to conclude, I found that depression is indeed associated with high waist circumference among women, and that depression is associated with extremely high BMI also among women, but why only among women? And that, I think, remains a question for future study. I also found that poor physical health could be a mediator of this association. I think that should be researched further. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have plenty of time for questions. Yes, who had the question? Yes, sir.
Yes.
The literature associating risk of depression with physical activity is fairly robust.
Mm-hmm.
And so to what extent do the relationships between obesity and depression represent just an artifact? The obese being less likely to exercise.
Well, I controlled for physical activity, leisure time physical activity, and it did not significantly reduce the association. So I interpret that to mean that it doesn't explain a lot of this association, even though it's a possible mediator. Yes?
Well, did you examine the physical fitness of the individuals as a proxy for physical activity, as much as self-reported physical activity is very unreliable?
That I'm afraid this is another weakness. It did depend on self-reported physical activity. So maybe physical activity was underestimated.
But I believe Ed Haynes doesn't have VO2 max.
It does. However, that's quite complicated data, and we didn't include it in this analysis. But it would be something to do in the future. Yes?
I think it's important to remember that if these folks are clinically diagnosed and under treatment, that many antidepressants will make them more prone.
That's a good point. But another side to that is if they are being treated for depression, they might not show signs and symptoms in the PHQ-9, and they might have been misclassified as not depressed. That being the case, the results that I found would be weaker than the actual results. Other questions? Yes?
But if PHQ-9, would they not consider whether someone is on antidepressants or not?
The PHQ-9 doesn't go into that, no. Yes?
Jane Wardle published some results suggesting that at least among students under stress, that they eat more poorly. And my impression is that those who are depressed tend more than most to eat comfort food. Mm-hmm. In order to treat that depression. And comfort foods are more energy dense.
That's true.
And the energy density, in turn, is consistently associated with increased risk of obesity. So I know you haven't gotten into the weeds of nutrition analysis, but I would be interested in knowing if those who are depressed are associated with diets that have higher energy density.
That is a really interesting topic to investigate in the future. And in relation to why does it affect women versus men, too. Maybe women are more prone to eat comfort foods. Yes?
Question. Did you, by any chance, been looking at this, find across any research on lack of physical activity and the chemical reactions in the brain with lack of physical activity and correlation with depression?
I have no physiological data on brain activity. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
If you use two measures, BMI and HRV.
Right.
From this analysis, could you suggest which one do you think would be a better measure for depression?
Oh, for this association. It's hard to say from this analysis alone, but it's looking like waist circumference. Yes? Actually, I didn't. I didn't show it here. And it's only the highest level that shows an association. Anything else?
Did you look at race?
I controlled.
Instead of adjusting it for it, did you do race specific?
No, I did not do race specific. I adjusted for it, though.
Maybe helpful to look at that, look at depression in blacks versus whites, maybe important to look at that. And 88 centimeters is how many inches is that?
35.
I'm almost there.
But that's for women.
Huh? 32. For 40?
Yeah.
But that's not. How did you get those cut points?
Those are recommended by NIH to increase your risk of cardiovascular disease.
But how are they distributed in your population, though?
Actually, a high proportion of the population has a high waist circumference.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that maybe you should look at the more extreme end of the waist circumference to see, because that doesn't seem to me to be very... especially if, you know, 60% of the women have 88 centimeter waist.
Well, it wasn't that high, but it was a high proportion. Yeah.
So I think, that would be maybe helpful to look at the more extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
good. It was about 1 centimeter above the iliac crest. 0.1 centimeter, I guess.
I guess I have one final question. Is these two health indicators, self-rated health and chronic conditions, mm-hmm. those are the things you adjusted for in your final column?
Right. Oh, in addition to the demographic variables.
Yeah, but you said demographic and behavioral you adjusted in one.
Right. And it was demographic and health in the other.
Not behavioral.
I took them out of the last one.
So demographic and behavioral is 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now 3 is demographic and health.
Right.
And then it disappears. I just don't quite understand why.
It's obviously something to do with those health variables.
Yeah. So maybe they're in the causal pathway.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Excellent. Very good.
Okay.